Yeah, yeah, my name is Willie Terry. I'm the labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. It's an independent media center here in the Capital District. We are located in Troy. And one of the things that I want to ask you, because I know, and I read about your father, I read a lot, that he had a lot of faith in the labor movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he always tried to, you know, pull the labor movement and the community together.
Yep.
Right? And I just want to know your thoughts on that. Is that still something that should be done today?
Yeah, we have to find a way to bolster labor, because the labor movement is being dismantled and is not as strong as it once was, but it should be, because you still have workers,
right,
and workers need to have an entity that helps to protect them. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the labor movement needs to really be bolstered and become stronger again,
so
that it can always represent the average person, the average working man and woman.
Okay. Now, recently in the labor movement, you know, the Amazon workers out in Staten Island, they got a union, but down in Bessemer, Alabama, they didn't get it. And now, right now, Starbucks is one of the places that being unionized. What are your thoughts on that, though?
Well, I think, excuse me, with every time there's a victory, mm-hmm, there always seems to be a little setback. But those setbacks are part of life. They should not cause us to have any doubt. We should continue to move forward and continue to figure out how to get more and more representation. It's always, to me, it's always about having representation for the people, and that's what labor does.
Right. And one of the things that's been happening is the poor people movement. I know you know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Reverend Barber came here maybe 4 or 5, maybe longer years. Mm-hmm. He came in and spoke at the same platform that you spoke on.
Sure.
Right. And on June the 18th, I think they're going
to
have a big mass assembly in Washington. So give me your thoughts on, you know, why people should be involved in that.
So I think when we talk about a derivative of the Poor People's Campaign, my dad in 1967 was organizing, and a little bit in 68, but something called the Poor People's Campaign, which was going to bring together poor blacks, poor whites, poor Native Americans, poor Americans from all walks of life to say to our policymakers that we demand a right to decent jobs with decent pay. Reverend Barber has re-emerged that concept so that he's pulled together a lot of people and low-wage workers who also need support. When you look at over 100 million people are in that category, and most people don't even know it or think about it, and yet you've got this huge group of people, talented people, who are not able to make a decent living. We're still, Dad was talking about a living wage in 1967, 68. We're still trying to raise the minimum wage, and even at $15 an hour, which sounds like okay, that's really not enough, and some, certainly not in New York and some other states. So we've got a lot of work to do, and I think that's what Reverend Barber and his organization and all those who are working with him are trying to shine a light on this fact that because people, you know, the news doesn't tell you that. You know, the mainstream news doesn't even focus on the poor. We've always focused on middle class. Well, we got to keep a light focused on the poor, because that's where the greatest need is, and that's where the greatest opportunity is to bring about change too is.
And just a last question. I know you spoke a lot about the Black Lives Matter. You talked about that. And I've been looking at some of your speeches on Zoom, when, you know, they talk. So what message would you have for young people, you know, who are in an age of technology now? You know, what's that message would you have for them?
I think the first message is, today there's a lot at our fingertips because of technology, and we have to choose to use it constructively. Unfortunately, most people use technology in a less than, in a modest way. I mean, we're looking at entertainment, we're looking at, I mean, people have zillions of followers who are doing things that are really not uplifting in a whole, I mean, and that's okay, but that's because that's entertainment. But we need people to use the technology for positively organizing. You know, for example, when the Poor People's Campaign effort takes place, or and low wage workers. You know, if we had, we should. It'd be nice to have 2 or 3 million people, as opposed to. I think there'll be at least 500,000 there. It could be more, but it should be even more than that. And if we were using technology in the proper way, we could get people there. We could figure out how to raise whatever money is needed to bring people. People who are making low wages can't afford to stay in a hotel, can't afford to be there. But if we could raise, there's enough money in this multi-trillion dollar economy to raise money to be able to bring people there so people can express themselves and be able to articulate what they want for them and their families, and we should be able to create that. So I guess what I'm saying is, for young people, I think there are a lot of young people who are doing some phenomenal things through technology, but I think we're just beginning to scratch the surface. We got a long way to go before we really have scratched the surface and created real options. And in the black community specifically, the income inequality is, I mean, the fact of the matter is, we were closer in the terms of the gap back in 1970, early 70s, than we are today. I mean, it's growing further and further apart in terms of what white workers are making and average savings and what black workers are making. We got to close that gap, and it's not just on our community. It's on the whole society to work. To create the opportunity so that people can lift themselves up. Now, I would say to young people, master technology, because if you master and stay in that area, you can always have a job. You can always be of value. I mean, the service industry will always exist, but unfortunately, it won't have but so many jobs and it doesn't pay much. But technology, there are young people who are doing this. I don't know how to, the NFTs. I just know the acronym, but I can't say what it is, but they're making, you know, some of those young kids are making millions of dollars trading these instruments using this new form of currency. And some people made a lot of money in crypto. I don't understand enough of it to know, but young people can learn it. And so I would encourage them to stay focused on technology, and you will always be, you will never work yourself out of existence. That's the biggest thing I would say.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
But when I went to my mother's undergraduate school, there was a statue of the educator Horace Mann. There was an inscription written on that statue that at 14 impacted me. And every time I went back, I finally figured out what I think it means. What it said was, be ashamed, or what was written, be ashamed to die until you've won a victory for humanity. When I first saw that, I said, oh my gosh, how do you do that? Think about it. Be ashamed to die until you've won a victory for humanity. Well, so I broke it down over the years, and I said, you know, we can win a victory in our neighborhood. We can win victories in our school. We can win victories in our places of worship. Some of us may win victories in our cities. Some may win victories in our states. Some may win victories in our nation. And still, better yet, some may even win victories in our world. All those words mean are, be ashamed to die until you've done a little something to make the world in which we all must live a little better than it was when you arrived. Thank you very much, and may God bless each and every one of you always.